Verse 29, but he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have I ever told you about the time my mom and dad had me help with weeding the garden? Didn't go well. They planted this nice garden, and my mom takes me over to one of the parts of the garden and says, these are the plants that we want. Everything else is weeds, and you pull them out. Somehow that got reversed. So I was happily pulling things out, and about 5 minutes later, my mom comes back and looks at what I've done, and she was not happy. Every single plant they planted, I pulled out. We got a problem. From our perspective, we have a problem in the church, out of the church, in our lives, in our souls. One of the things we teach in confirmation is that the church is invisible. And the reason why it's invisible is that you cannot see faith in another person's soul. You cannot look deep into their hearts and see the actual believing in Jesus. Pastors take people at their confession of faith. I can't look at you and sort out, is there somebody here that isn't really? I can't do that. By the way, trying to do that, what could possibly go wrong? Well, there are stories. There are stories, and there are stories that are written, and there are all kinds of things where people try to see into each other's souls and see who is and who is not, and who's the one causing all the trouble that is not a true believer, and if we could just get rid of that one person, we'd have peace in our congregation. And you know, as soon as that person is gotten out, then there's somebody else, because the peace doesn't happen, the peace doesn't come, and so one after another ends up being the target. What could possibly go wrong? Sometimes we are of the opinion that if God would simply act to remove the wicked from the world, then things would be so much better, and we forget the entanglements there within the soul. If you want for God to judge all the wicked, well, watch out. Because you yourselves, and I myself, and what could possibly go wrong? Society. Who are the truly well-intentioned who wandered into a bad idea? Who are the ones that are truly stirring up wickedness? Try and sort it out. You can't. You cannot see inside other people's souls. There's a warning. The church is invisible, and within the visible church there are children of God and there are children of wickedness. You can't tell the difference. The particular weeds that are referred to in this parable are said to be a certain kind, darnel, that as it grows until the head of grain begins to form, there is not much difference. How do you sort out? There's another problem. Some of what looks like weeds is going to end up at the end where those were true believers after all. It just took a while for that to develop. And there are some that look like good and faithful that at the end, why, those weren't faithful after all. Who is able to see? Who is able to see in the heart right now? And who is able to see the future and how everything will develop? And if you are not God, you cannot sort it out. I'm reminded in Africa, there's a saying, what's the difference between a sheep and a goat? And the answer is, the sheep's tail hangs down, the goat's tail sticks up. This is difference. But from God's perspective, he is able to sort everything out. And there is this wonderful, wonderful verse. I'm going to quote it to you and then tell you where it's found. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. He is patient. So the owner of the field, the owner of the crop, the owner of the harvest, patient. His servants, not so patient, they want to act, they want to do. No, patience. And he will have things sorted out at the end. A whole lot of the parable is bound up in the first verse. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. And that's Jesus, who comes sowing the seed of the gospel and the message of salvation and telling of forgiveness of sins and forgiveness of sins by his blood, by his suffering, dying, and rising. And he keeps on sowing that seed. But you can't see the difference. The master in the parable is patient, goal-oriented. And when the time comes, everything will be sorted out. But in the meantime, what God is in the business of doing is bringing us, bringing you, bringing me into a relationship with him by repentance and faith. And as often as he comes along with the seed of the gospel, the seed of forgiveness, the word of repentance and faith and salvation, that's how often he is sowing again and again and again into our hearts. Again, he is able to see and tell the difference. And if you look within your own heart and soul, sort out between all of the good intentions and motives and the others that are questionable and iffy. You can't even sort yourself out. So we have quoted this last week, again this week. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. I can't reason it out. I can't turn into my own soul and cause myself to begin believing in Jesus. I can't take myself out of the sinful and iffy intentions and desires in the heart and bring myself to Jesus. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. It's got to be God. It's got to be the Word of God. It's got to be the gospel. And it has got to be the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. The amazing thing is not that there is this mixture. There is a mixture of persons, and there is a mixture deep within the heart. And there is, well, in the language of the parable, you try and pull out this plant next to that plant and find out that the roots are all entwined, and so it's an absolute mess in this world, and we can't separate it. But that Word of God comes. And the miracle is that, well, we are actually Christians. How did that happen? The word for repentance in the New Testament means to have your eyes suddenly open to the truth. It's the "I never saw it that way" experience. And that means that somebody could read the entire Bible and completely miss the whole point, which is salvation in Jesus Christ. Until the time comes when the Holy Spirit works and takes that Word of God, and suddenly the eyes are open. Suddenly there is the absolute certainty that Jesus is the Savior, that He rose from the dead, that He gives to me, new life and eternal life. And surprise, now you are living in the presence of God, and now God is your friend, and you will be walking with Him every day of your life and on through eternity, and surprise, you're going to live forever. It's the Mary Magdalene on Easter morning outside of the tomb experience. Mary. And she said, "Rabboni, my teacher." And eternity opened up in front of her. In one instant, I am separated from God and lost, with no way of knowing God, no way of finding Him, no way of figuring Him out. And in the next instant, I am His child, born by the power of the Holy Spirit, growing in faith and in the pattern of my older brother Jesus. And a professor in seminary by the name of Dr. Ji, great Korean professor, he used to say that nobody can really understand this thing called conversion. How it happens, or when, or what takes place inside the human soul when the Holy Spirit does His unseen work. But suddenly we wake up and we belong to God. This is what the work of God is among us, to keep on taking that gospel, that message of salvation, and giving it to us. Because time and time again, we wander off back into doubts and uncertainty, and things get all mixed inside the soul. And the good shepherd, the Son of Man, comes by again sowing his good seed and sorting things out. And again, I'm a child of God. How did that happen? I've been toying with. When we do confession and absolution, we go all the way through our confession, and I pause for just a second and turn and say, surprise! Your sins are forgiven. Surprise! You now have eternal life. Surprise! God has decided that you belong to Him, and He's going to walk with you every moment of your life. And surprise! Eternity and heaven is opened up to you. And you didn't earn it. And first time you experienced it, you couldn't have expected it. But time and time again throughout our lives, it is a surprise. Coming to souls that so often question and so often doubt and so often ask, what is God doing? But He is patient and He knows what He is doing with us, His people, His sheep, the wheat of His field. Trust Him. He knows what He's doing. In Jesus' name, amen.